Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Today we are going to talk about the meetings and proceedings at the company. The management of the company is undertaken through the meetings which are held at the company. There are different kinds of meetings. There are some meetings or certain meetings which are carried on by the shareholders of that company, and especially those meetings where the major decisions are to be taken. Such meetings are always attended by the shareholders of that company. These meetings are called generally by the board of directors, but sometimes the shareholders may also call the meetings. In the same way, under certain conditions, the commission has also got the power to call the meetings on its own motion or on the application by the members of the company. There are three types of meetings which can be called to be the meetings of the shareholders. These are statutory meeting. Second is annual general meeting, and third is extraordinary general meeting. All of these are general meetings. Reason is that the members of that company, they participate in all of such companies. There might be some other kind of meetings where a particular class of members would hold a certain meeting. So if there is a certain class of shareholders whose rights have been affected by a certain decision, etc., so a meeting may be held for those particular shareholders. So class meetings are also possible, and under certain conditions, the creditors of the company, their meeting may be conducted. We have already talked about the meeting of the board of directors. So these were different types of meetings, but today we are mainly concerned with the general meetings, which are the meetings of the members of that company, the meetings which are attended by all of the members of that company. So first of all, the first kind of these meetings is the statutory meeting. The statutory meeting, it is the first meeting of the members of the company. It is to be held once in the lifetime of the company. Section 131 requires, this section requires that there must be held the meeting of all of the members of that company, and it is required, the statutory meeting, it is required for a public company which has got share capital. So it might be a company limited by shares or company limited by grantee with share capital. So for these kinds of company, the statutory meeting is compulsory, and there is a time duration or time limit, you may say, for holding the statutory meeting. This limit is 180 days after the commencement of business. So whenever a public company is entitled to start its business operations, to commence its business, within 180 days of that date, the statutory meeting must be held, or 9 months after the incorporation of the company. So the second limit is after incorporation, within 9 months. And which one is earlier, that will be applicable. If a company gets successful in completing its formalities for commencing the business activities before 9 months, or before, you may say, 6 months of its incorporation. So in such a case, this 180 days after commencement of business, this limit will be applicable. Otherwise, it is compulsory that within 9 months of incorporation, whether a company has commenced its business or not, it is compulsory that it should carry on its statutory meeting. There is another possibility. If annual general meeting was held within very little time or within these time limits, if the first annual general meeting was held, because afterwards we will see the time limit for annual general meeting, it is more than the limit for statutory meeting. So if annual general meeting is held earlier, in such a case statutory meeting would not be required to be held separately. So consequently, the statutory meeting, it is needed for public companies. It is not recommended, it is not mandatory for private companies. So the requirements of the meetings are, first of all, its time limit. It should be held within the time limit, which I have already discussed. Secondly, its notice must be properly given. So the notice of the meeting to the members must be sent at least 21 days before this meeting is held. So it is also compulsory that all of the members must be informed that the statutory meeting is going to be held, and this notice of meeting must be at least 21 days before the date of meeting. Third requirement is that a statutory report must be prepared in accordance with the provisions of section 131 subsection 3, and this report, statutory report, must accompany the notice which is being sent to the members. The next requirement is that the directors of that company must prepare a list of all of the members, including all of their details, their nationalities, their addresses, contact details, number of shares which is held by each of the members. So consequently, this list must be prepared, and it shall be accessible at the meeting place, and it shall be open for inspection to all of the members of the company during the continuance of the meeting. The next requirement is that the members of the company, they shall be free and they shall be at liberty to discuss any matter related to the formation of the company, related to any other issue about the company, or they may also discuss the contents of the statutory reports, but no decision can be taken about any particular matter which was not mentioned in the notice for meeting, because the notice must contain the agenda of meeting. So anything which was not in the agenda cannot be taken decision upon, but the members, they will be at liberty to discuss all of these things, or they can discuss anything which they want to discuss, because this is the first meeting of the members with the management of the company. So they can ask anything about the about any issue which is troubling them, or which they want to discuss. Then this meeting may adjourn from time to time. So it is, it may be possible that after the original meeting, a new notice about any other matter which was not there in the original meeting may be given. So afterwards, in the adjourned meeting, the resolution on such matter may be passed. And every adjourned meeting, it shall also have the same power as the original meeting. So everything which can be discussed at the original meeting may be discussed at adjourned meeting. So these were certain requirements. And in the beginning I said that it is applicable to every public company with share capital, but if there is a company if there is a private company which has converted it to a public company 1 year after its incorporation, so that will not be required to hold a statutory meeting. So if a private company, it was incorporated and after 1 year of its incorporation attending time it converted it to a public company, then it will shall not be required to hold and conduct a statutory meeting. So if a statutory meeting is not properly held or the requirements which we have mentioned they have not been complied with, so in such a case it shall be considered to be an offence which is liable to the penalty. The penalty will be in case of a listed company level 2 on the standard scale, and the penalty for other companies will be of level 1 on the standard scale. Here we talked about the statutory report which was to be prepared and which was to be sent to the members along with the notice of the meeting. So there are some important things which must be there in a statutory report. So the statutory report is to be prepared by the company and it shall be signed by the chief executive as well as at least one director of the company, and if it is a listed company then this statutory report must also be signed by the chief financial officer of the company. So the contents of this statutory report, these are also mentioned in section 131. So first of all, it shall state the total number of shares which have been allotted, including all kinds of shares. If there were shares allotted for any other consideration other than cash, those shall also be mentioned. What was the consideration? These details must be there. Secondly, the total amount of cash which was received by the company for allotting shares, this total amount must be there. Then if any payment has been made by the company days before the preparation of this report, all of the payments which have been received those must be there, and the payments which have been made by the company till the preparation of this report, 15 days before the preparation of this report, the details of those payments must also be there along with the receipts which the company has in any way paid, or if there were some persons who were not given their shares which they subscribed and they were repaid their amount, the details of such amount must also be mentioned. And what is the amount which is remaining with the company, it must also be stated. The expenditures which were preliminary expenditures before the incorporation of the company or the expenditures for the incorporation, all of those details must also be clearly and mentioned in detail. Then the officers of the company, including the directors, chief executive, chief financial officer, auditors and legal advisors, the names and details of such members must also be mentioned in the statutory report. and if any change has been there after the incorporation of the company in these officers, or any of these officer has been changed, such change must also be mentioned. Then if there is any contract by the company which is going to be modified, and this modification will is to be approved in the meeting of the members, the detail of such modification, such contract must be clearly mentioned, and it shall also be there in the statutory report. Then if the company has entered into any underwriting contracts, the details of such contracts, up to what extent they were carried out, and if they were not carried out properly, what was the reason for that. So all of details regarding these contracts must be mentioned. Then if the company has paid any commission or brokerage to its directors or chief executive or any other officer relating to the shares, sale of issues, or sale of debentures, or issuance of shares, so all of those expenses which were paid as commission must also be stated. Then it also contains a statement relating to the company's affairs. If any change is to be made in the affairs of the company, in the business of the company, it shall also be mentioned in the statutory report, as well as if any change is to be made to the rights of the shareholders, such change also be mentioned in the this particular report. So along with this statutory report, an auditor's report must also be prepared regarding the payments which the company has received in respect of shares or debentures or other securities. So a report of auditor must be prepared for all of these payments, expenditures and incomes, etc. So in this way, this statutory report must be prepared, and along with this statutory report, the report of the auditor must be attached, and this will be sent to all of the members, and afterwards it will also be sent to the registrar for registration. And this is, as I said, a requirement, and if there is any default in preparation of such report, it will be an offense which is punishable under section 131. The second kind of meeting is annual general meeting. The annual general meeting also is a required meeting under the Companies Act. It is a meeting through which the shareholders and the members of the company, they hold the affairs of the company, they can manage the affairs or most important affairs of the company. In these meetings, the accounts of the company are presented before the members, and so consequently it is the meeting which protects the interests of the members. Mainly here the annual accounts are discussed, the declaration of dividend, it is discussed there, the retirement and appointment of auditors, it is another item in its in the agenda of this meeting. In the same way, the directors, they are appointed or retired. The retirement and appointment of directors, it is also another thing. So these are some of the important things which are there in annual general meeting. So section 132, it gives us important provisions and requirements relating to annual general meeting. So what are the requirements? That first of all, every company is required to hold annual general meeting. It is requirement for every company. The first annual general meeting must be held within 16 months of its incorporation. This is for annual general meeting. Then afterwards, in every year, annual general meeting must be held, but it must be held at most within 120 days of the closure of its financial year. Financial year is any period for which the financial statement was prepared. So after the closure of the time period for the financial statement, within 120 days this annual general meeting must be conducted. Then in case of a listed company, it is compulsory that where the registered office of the company is situated in the same town or in the nearby city, the annual general meeting must be held. Although 10% shareholders of the company may demand to provide video link facility for this annual general meeting. Then another requirement after the first requirement, as I said, was the time to follow the time limits. The second requirement is to provide or to issue notices of that meeting. So the notice for annual general meeting or AGM, it shall be sent to every member or every other person, every member of the company, or if there is any other person who is also entitled to receive notice, such person shall be sent notice, and it the notice must be sent at least 21 days before the date of the meeting. The notice in case of a listed company must also be sent to the commission, and it shall also be published in the newspapers. Single member company, it does not require to hold annual general meeting. So as I said earlier, there are four important matters which are to be discussed always in every annual general meeting, although there may be other things also, but at least the annual general meeting in AGM, first of all, the financial statements and other reports of auditors must be considered. Secondly, the declaration of dividend must be there. Thirdly, the election or appointment of directors in place of retiring directors must be done. And in the same way, the appointment of auditors and fixing their remuneration is also an important thing which is a part of annual general meeting. The third thing, or the third kind of meeting, which is the meeting of the members, is extraordinary general meeting under section 133. So under this section, every meeting other than every meeting of members of a company other than the statutory meeting under section 131, or the AGM, annual general meeting under section 132, every other meeting of members would be extraordinary general meeting. So it may be called whenever there is any urgent matter for which it is not possible to delay the matter or to delay it to the AGM. So this extraordinary general meeting may be called in three ways. First of all, it may be called by the board. So the board of directors, if it thinks that there is an urgent matter which requires the consideration in the general meeting of the members, so it may on its own give a notice of meeting, and consequently any extraordinary general meeting may be held. Secondly, it may be called by the board on the requisition of members. The first type was calling the extraordinary general meeting by the board on its own motion. Second kind is calling of the meeting by the board on the requisition of its members. So in case of any company with share capital, if the holders of 10%, at least 10% of its total shares, they want to call a meeting and they prepare a requisition for calling extraordinary general meeting and they submit it to the directors, it will be the duty of the director to call extraordinary general meeting. In case of a company without share capital, 10% of its members may also send a requisition to the board so as to call extraordinary general meeting. So whenever the board receive this requisition, it shall proceed to call extraordinary general meeting. In this requisition, it shall be mentioned that what are the objectives of the meeting, and it shall also be signed by all of the requisitionists, and it shall be deposited at the registered office of the company. So it is the second kind of, or second possibility of calling this extraordinary general meeting. The third possibility is to call the extraordinary general meeting by the requisitionists themselves. So requisition was sent to the board, but they did not call the meeting, and they delayed it up to 21 days. So if within 21 days of filing the requisition, the board did not call the meeting. So in such a case, the requisitionists, they may on their own call a meeting, and it shall be held within 90 days of filing the requisition to the company. So whenever a requisition is deposited to the company, and within 20 days of this depositing the requisition, the board did not call the meeting, the requisitionist may proceed to call the meeting by their own. So if the requisitionists have called the meeting, it shall be held and it shall be called in the same manner as other meetings. So the notices must be sent to the members. And moreover, any expenses which are borne by the members shall be reimbursed to them, and it shall be the liability of the directors who are in default, and it shall be deducted from the remuneration which is paid to such directors who has committed this default. So in any case, whenever any extraordinary general meeting is being called in any of these three ways, The notice of such meeting must be given to the members of the company. And if there is any contravention to this particular section 133, it shall be an offense which will be punishable with the penalty of level 2 on the standard scale if it is relating to a listed company, and to level 1 on the standard scale it is if it is related to any other company.